All right. This morning, we're going to start with number 43. And in your bulletin, it says it's not the right song, but it really is number 43, which is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Over a couple pages to number 45. It says, crown him with many crowns. Number 56, just verses 1 and 3. To God be the glory. 139, My Jesus, I Love Thee, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Oh, Is that better? Can you hear me now? I don't want to make light of worshiping God. It's one of the most important things that we do. And I appreciate y'all on spur of the moment. And y'all sing well. You sound good. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for the fact that we can come and worship you. And Father, our prayer is to just be where you are. To set aside our wants, our needs, our desires. And to focus on you. To focus on being where you are and what you want for us. And Father, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Give me a minute. I'm falling apart. That thing's got to be in a little bitty there. All right. Maybe. Maybe. There. All right. I love to play golf. I haven't played in a couple of years. It's something that takes so much time. I really gave it up when Grant was born because I wanted to spend more time being a dad than I did playing golf. But it's incredible that this sport that is an amazingly simple concept. You take one of these, you hit one of these into a hole about this size. Seems incredibly simple. And if it was, we'd all be pros. And it's amazing how complicated it is. But you see, the deal is, if you're going to be good at it, you have to hit this with the sweet spot. It's the place that the engineers designed right in the middle that gives the maximum amount of force and direction and distance. Now, the problem with most of us hackers who aren't playing this all the time is we either hit it up here or we hit it back here, or we hit it down here, or we hit it up here, and it just goes all over the place. But if you're going to be good at this, you got to hit it with the sweet spot. People spend their whole life trying to hit with the sweet spot. One of the things that the golf industry has done is tried to make that spot bigger so you could manage to hit it there. You still can't do it. It reminds me of a children's fairy tale story. You remember Goldilocks and the Three Bears? Now let's set aside for a minute that Goldilocks is guilty of home invasion, burglary, and property destruction. And I'm really not sure what the moral of the story is, but all of us know this story. Goldilocks breaks into the Three Bears' house, and she finds their dinner, their porridge. The first one's too hot, the second one's too cold, and the third one, say it with me, is just right. Then she goes to their living room. Their chairs aren't right except for the last one. It's what? Just right. And she breaks it. After all of her burglary and larceny, and she's tired. And so she goes to the bed. The first one's too hard. The second one's too soft. The third one's just right. Wouldn't it be incredible if you could get life just right? Get to the place where you're in the center of God's will. you're not focused too much or too little on the things that don't matter, but you get life just right. Agur, the funny little prophet to me who 1,000 years before Christ knew that God was going to have a son, and he wrote Proverbs 30, so let's go there. Proverbs 30. Last week we looked at most of his list, most of his desires to get life just right. This week I want us to focus in on his prayer. Like I said last week, it is the only prayer in all of Proverbs. Look at verse 7. God, I beg of you, I beg two favors of you. Let me have them before I die. First, help me to never tell a lie. Secondly, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I will deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I am too poor, I may steal and thrust insults on God's holy name. This is an amazing man to me. And let's look at his prayer, because it's two very incredible truths that if we could focus on and concentrate on, we would get life just right. First, he asked to never tell a lie, to know the truth. Isn't that what we all want, the truth? The truth will do what? Set you free. Why? When we find truth, we find God. Right? So when we find God, we're so much closer to where He wants us to be. But then you begin to focus on His second part of this prayer. And this is amazing for us if we could get to this place. He is so incredibly honest. First of all, He knows His weaknesses. Okay? His weakness is materialism. Okay? It's important for us to know your weakness. Whatever that is, if you know that, then you can overcome that through God's strength. But for so many of us, we ignore the first part of his prayer, the truth. He says, never let me tell a lie. Who's he talking to? He's probably talking as much to himself as he is to anybody else. Don't let me lie to myself. We do that all the time to make us feel better about ourselves. But he knows his weakness. He says, don't give me too much. Can you pray that? Don't give me too much. We are apart and engulfed in a society that wants more. And more is always better, right? Until you get too much. And what does he say? When I have too much, then I'm going to lose sight of you. Are you willing to pray, God, don't give me too much that I lose sight of you? Don't give me more than I need that would take my focus off of you. Then he says, don't give me too little. I don't want to starve. I don't want to be homeless on the street. So give me enough so that life is just right. Let's have a brief history lesson here for a minute about our society, about this, the greatest country, still the greatest country that you could possibly live in. For those who who lived through the Great Depression and fought in World War II. Anybody in here like that? Anybody remember the Great Depression? Anybody know enough? They are called the greatest society. Okay? The greatest generation. Because they are the ones who really built this country. Okay? And they weren't motivated by greed. They were motivated by a better life. They are the ones who built the interstates, who invented the cars, who set us in motion on the life that we have. Then comes their children, the boomers. They are the ones who took us to a new level and really introduced materialism into our society. We need more. We need bigger. We need better. And so that mindset gives way to a people who are focused on stuff and not God. Eger's saying, I don't want to be that. I don't want too much. So now there's been this shift in our society. The minimalist, the tiny house crew. Now, I don't know. I'm sure we got some home and garden folks in here that like to watch this movement of these little closets that people are moving into. That's the second part of Eger's prayer. Give me enough. That's not enough. That's not enough. No matter what your weakness is, let's say that, because for Eger, it's materialism. Yours may be something different. But what God desires for us is balance. Is a balance between enough and not enough. Whatever it is, God wants us to find balance. Turn with me over to Philippians for a second. Philippians 4. Verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13. I bet everybody in here can quote this verse. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? Back up a verse, because I want you to see something incredibly important about what Paul is talking about here. Verse 12, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty one, with plenty or with little. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul and Eger on the same path here. And what they are desiring for us to grab a hold of. We've all quoted 13, right? We've all reminded yourself of 13. But 13 is about 12. We can find balance through Christ. If we don't have Christ, you can't find it. You're either going to be too much or too little. You're never going to hit the sweet spot if you're trying to do it under your own power. Now, when Eger wrote his prayer, one of the things that the people who read it would have instantly made the association with is the Exodus and the manna. Remember that? God said, I'm going to provide for you. And he gave them food for one day. One day. That's what he gave them food for. Now they, like us, being entrepreneurs and planning ahead, what are we going to do? He told them, get enough for today. Now there was more, right? But he said, get enough for what you need today. There was more than that. They gathered it up. And it spoiled. Paul and Agur are trying to teach us the same thing. Both of them trying to teach us the same thing. And it's trusting God. What God was trying to teach them as they gathered their manna is, you trust me today. But see, we want to get to a place where we don't have to trust him for tomorrow. I'm going to store up enough. I'm going to put enough in my 401k. I'm going to have everything I need so I can take care of myself. And y'all know it can go on like that. In the blink of an eye, your health, your wealth, your family, gone. So what Agur is saying to us in this prayer of don't give me too much and don't give me too little is let me find balance. Isn't that what we always, all of us want? I can tell you from the few times, very few, where I've managed to hit the golf ball in that sweet spot, there is nothing that feels like that. Nothing. And there's also, for you baseball fans, there's a sweet spot on this bat. It's just like the golf club. But this sport to me is much harder because the sweet spot is not much bigger than that on a golf club. But when you're playing golf, the ball is just sitting there. It's just sitting there taunting you, saying, I'm not going to move, and you still can't hit me. But when you get one of these and you get in the batter's box, then if you're at the professional level, somebody's going to throw that ball at you at 100 miles an hour. And you got to try to find the sweet spot. This is much closer to life than that. Because life is coming at you in all directions. And to be able to try to find the sweet spot on a daily basis so that you can have that balance, there is only one way to do it. And that's with God. That is, your focus has to be so zeroed in on Him. See, this was a sport that I was never very good at, but the good hitters will tell you that they are looking for the ball as soon as possible. They want to see it before it leaves the pitcher's hand. Now, how they do that, I don't know. But if you're going to handle life when it's coming at you at 100 miles an hour and you're going to be focused on God, there's only one way to do that. There's only one way to do that. And that is, you have to be focused on God's Word so that you know what's coming. See, the batters will tell you, the key is they want to know what the pitcher's throwing before he's throwing it. As soon as they can tell what pitch it is, They want to be focused in on it. If you want to know what life is coming at you, be focused on Christ. Not life. Christ. I have a video I want to show you. For those of you who are baseball fans, probably one of the greatest players of our generation is Albert Pujols. And he may be the best pure hitter the game has ever seen. He has the ability to take this and hit that almost unlike anybody else has. But as hard as life is, and can you imagine as successful as somebody who's making millions and millions of dollars and how much life is coming at them, how hard it is to stay focused on Christ. I want you to watch what he has to say about life and God. Maybe. No matter what your sport is, in terms of your life, what your focus is, if we're gonna do it successfully, if we're gonna find that balance, we have to be focused.
What kind of role did faith play in your life?
Everything. You know, God is everything to me. He has shown me His mercy, His grace, and the best gift that He has given me is salvation. You know, when I got to, accepting in my life, and knowing that I have eternal life through Him, a personal relationship with Him. It's not about being a Christian. It's not about religious. It's about having a personal relationship with Christ. But that doesn't make me perfect. You know, I have learned the hard way. I may have made mistakes, but knowing that when I come to Him, He doesn't judge us. He doesn't look at us, you know, and be mad at us. He receives us with love. And I have learned so much, you know, in my life about how to treat other people the same way that Christ loves. And I believe at the end of the day or at the end of my career, that's going to be the most important thing for me, you know. Yes, the legacy of being a baseball player and great and all that, it's great, man. But being a strong Christian who serves the community, and when I'm facing Him or being with Him, like, that He can look at me and say, what have you done with the gift that I gave you? The gift is not the $300 million that I'm making again. The three MVP, the World Series, that's not the gift. The platform, that's not the gift. It's that Bible, man. That Bible, that's the gift that He has given me. You know, His Word, so I can spread it and talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's my job. It took me a while to learn it, but I'm at the point that I'm gonna quit now. And we have, you know, our chapel this morning, and I'm telling those young guys, you know, we were talking about creation, you know, and, you know, how God has created everything. And I told them, you know, about the last creation that He made. It was us. The Lord made us in His image. And then what He did after that, He rest. So He said the best thing for last, and it was to give us life in His image.
What do you remember from the first time you went to church with your wife, Dee Dee?
Oh, I remember, you know, at that time my English was so I still had to wear, you know, an earpiece during service so I can get translated in Spanish. So I pretty much just, you know, start asking questions and there was like 2 weeks go by and I said, hey, babe, you know, what is it when the pastor at the end of the service, he made the altar call and say the prayer of salvation, you know, to give their life to Christ. And she pretty much explained to me about it. She was like, listen, I'm going to keep it real simple to you because you probably won't understand, but there's a hell and there's a heaven. And I told her, I'm like, well, I don't want to go to the hell. I want to go to heaven. So the week after that, we went back to church, and Pastor Jeff Adam Grieber, great, great servant, Kansas City Baptist Temple in Kansas City, and he touched me, and I think, you know, after the service, he did the same thing, and I just woke up with her and surrounded myself to the King and just have him take control of my life.
And that means what?
Just accepting, that you accepting as your Lord. You accept him, that you know that he died on that cross for our sin, that he took everybody's sin, you know, upon hanging that cross. And then you know that he gave you that eternal life. And through that, I had learned along my way. And I was a young believer back then, but like having guys like J.D. Drew, Wooden Wheeler, Mike Martini, like the way that those guys were handling their life, it was more than just going to church. You know, you can see Christ in them. Like, you can see the joy. And I was a young believer. I was like, you're still going to church. But, man, you know, I think it was after 2001, 2002, being in St. Louis, a Christian Family Day, that they asked me to share my testimony, and I didn't know what to share. And I think that's where my turning point was, man, that it was like more than just going to church and do your duty. It was about having a personal relationship with him, you know, with Christ. There was more than just the religious. And, you know, and it's been great. And, you know, it hasn't been perfect, but I know that I won't change a thing.
I understand in 2006, when you won the World Series with the Cardinals, it wasn't the World Series, it was the highlight of your year, but rather flying back on a plane with a teammate and leading him to Christ?
Yeah, my good little brother, Yadier Molina. We were in San Diego, and Rick Horton was, I see Rick Horton by the window, I see Yadier in the middle, and then I sit over here, and we left him to the Lord to accept Christ. That means that you need to turn, you know, from your sins and take, let the Lord take control, and just share with him, you know, the things you know, that God has done in my life, and he has seen it, and just the way that I handle myself. Like I say, it doesn't make me perfect. You know, I have made mistakes many, many times, but knowing that, you know, well, I have somebody that got my back all the time and that loves me like nobody else on this earth. And then when you put him before your family, before your wife, before your career, you know, like that's the God that I love.
He says something that's incredibly amazing to me. For a man who has had unbelievable success at his craft, the only thing that matters is a relationship with Christ. And when you have that relationship, what you find is the ability to hit the sweet spot of life, of finding life when it's not too hard, and it's not too soft, that it's just right. That comes out of the focus of what Christ wants for you. Whatever it is that you're put here to do and you have something that he wants you to accomplish, that's the only reason you're still here if you're a believer. Otherwise, your mission would be over and you'd be home. But be able to do that, to hit that sweet spot, it takes focus on the only thing that matters, and that's your relationship with him. When you have that, there's nothing like it. That's what Agar is trying to teach us with his prayer. Give me what I need to be focused on you. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you that your desire for us is to have a relationship with you, that we be focused on what you want, not what we want. That the things of this world will grow strangely dim as our focus is on our relationship with you and living a day by day trusting you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. You just play. You take a few minutes and you pray about where God wants you, about if you're in that sweet spot, if you've found the things that matter about this life, so that we're not distracted. So just stay seated. It's a time for us just to reflect and pray. Something about that name that will change your life on a daily basis. So I pray that if we don't learn anything else from Agur, we learn that life is about balance. It's about being focused on Him and finding that sweet spot where life is just right. Will you stand with me and let's close in prayer? Father, I thank you that you love us enough that you want to be involved in our lives on a daily basis. And I pray that as we walk out of this room, that we will be focused on our relationship with you and that we be able to find that balance that you want for us, that we find life in the sweet spot where it's just right. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.